Today it reminds me, since Pastor is not here, he asked me to bring the word of God to you guys today. And then he actually went to Peru, and it reminds me of a lot of things. It's been a year and a month since we went to Peru. It has been a blessing, because that was my first time that I preached in my life. And actually, first time was in Lima. The second time we were in Huaraz. And then over there, we had to deal with the altitude sickness. I had a hard time breathing, and I brought the air nose. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was unable to breathe. And it was really difficult for me to breathe and sing and bring the word of God. So, but that day, it was very interesting, because I started preaching that day, and there were like 30 people and 28 for a congregation. So I was like, I'm going to preach for two people only. And then in 10 minutes, I started preaching. I saw Hermana Laura, I brought the air going to the street. Actually, they went to the street from the church, and they started to grabbing people. And like whoever was walking, they were like, go in. And in 10 minutes, we had about 40 people, 40 new people. It was amazing. I was like, man, so can you guys go to the street and stop every car and come over here? So that was something really, really amazing that happened that day. And that day, about 17 people came to Christ. And to me, it was a joy used to bring out a piece of the word of God and people accepting it. So today, if you haven't received Christ in your life, today is your day. And as I mentioned, Pastor went to Peru, and he actually went to the wedding. We are rejoiced because our beloved friend Israel got married yesterday, and Pastor went to the wedding, you know, to be a witness and also to marry them. And so we rejoice and we love Israel. You know, maybe you guys know him. And from that end, I was like, man, he invited me to the wedding actually, but it's not that simple going to Peru and, you know, pay and everything. But I was like, well, I'm going to preach on Sunday. So since he didn't invite me to the wedding, I'm going to preach about a wedding today, a wedding that is recorded in the Bible. If so, today I'm going to bring you to the wedding. And we had technical difficulties on the screen. So I know you have your paper, so I'm going to help you to fill the blanks on your paper. So in your paper, you actually have a parable. Because so today we're going to talk about a parable on the Bible. And on your papers, I wrote one of the definitions. There's a lot of definitions on the what a parable means. And a parable on your paper said a parable is a brief story used by Jesus that illustrates the kingdom of heaven. So that's one simple definition of the parable that he used. Jesus used the parables in the middle of his ministry and right towards the end. So at the beginning, he was doing miracles, and then he used parables, and then at the end, he started using it a little bit more. Actually, the disciples, they wonder about this, about Jesus talking about these parables to people. And on Matthew 13:10-11, it says, and the disciples came to say and ask him, why do you speak in parables? And Jesus answered, and he said, to you it's been granted, you know, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not granted yet. Basically, what Jesus is saying on this parable is that for Christians, you know, we already know the word of God, but for people outside, they don't. So that's why Jesus used a parable to teach something that has to deal with the kingdom of heaven. So today I wanted you guys to open your Bibles. And where is my Bible? Oh, actually, I have it here. I feel like I had a Spanish and English, and I feel like, you know, when you call customer service, like, for Spanish, press 1. For English, press 2. So good. There you go. So we got the English Bible over here. And we're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Because I know it's not on the screens. So the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, from 1 to 13. And for those who don't have a Bible, I'm going to read it. And the Bible says the following. The title says the parable of the 10 virgins. Starting in verse 1 says, then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were the foolish, and 5 were the prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil and flax along their lamps. Now, what the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at the midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom, come to meet him. Then all the virgins rose and trimmed to their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of the oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will be not enough for us and not for you either. Go instead to the dealers and buy some of yourself. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, they went with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on alert then, for you don't know the day nor the hour. Father, we give you glory for this day. Father, that your word will talk to us, and that we proclaim your word outside. And if somebody doesn't know you today, that today might be the day, because in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so knowing the context of the this parable that Jesus used, you know, there's a lot of similarities on weddings, especially here in America and other parts of the world, where you see the pastor over here, you see the bridegroom, you see the all the ladies over here, and then you see all the penguins over here, like doing this, you know, all dressed alike. So the pastor asks to the father, you know, who's giving away this woman or the bride? And then he says, I am. And then he goes sit down. And the ceremony actually starts from that point in. And that's how we know here in America. But in the time of Jesus, especially in Israel, on the Middle East, weddings are not the same how we're doing today. Actually, the main focus of the wedding is the groom, is the guy. So ladies, don't get upset. Basically, the guy is the one, the main point of the wedding. It's not the bride. So the bride actually has to wait until he comes. And you know, in America, you know, you make invitations and everything. You put the time. And here in America, one of the things that I love about this country is that when it says at 7 o'clock, it starts at 7 o'clock. You know, but in the Bible, on this particular verse of the Bible, they give invitations, but doesn't have the time. So good luck. You had to wait until the groom comes. So all the ladies had to wait for a long time, and that's how the Bible actually is. And then when the groom shows up, that's when the ceremony starts. Not when the bride shows up. So the pastor, you know, they do the same thing that you guys know. They go to the front and they give away not the bride, but the groom. They give it away. And this is actually from the Bible. On Genesis, it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined his wife, and then shall become the flesh. Notice that the verse of the Bible says, for this reason, a man. It starts with the man because he's the main focus. So Jesus used this parable to show how the kingdom of heaven is going to be like, you know. And marriage is actually a covenant between a man and a woman. And for this reason, divorce, many people, divorce is not a choice. Some people believe in the Bible, it says that you can do it in some circumstances, but it's a covenant between a man and a woman as well that God did for us. So if you're dealing with any divorce, I'm not going to preach about it, but I'm telling you that you are in the right place because you have people that are actually going to help you to go through to the wedding. So that's a wedding in the Bible. You know, the main focus is the man. It's not the woman. So going to your papers, and your paper actually say you must be spiritually prepared, right? So people have to be spiritually prepared. And now actually we are dealing with this here in New Orleans because, you know, we had that hurricane season coming up, and then we all prepare, right? People prepare a lot, you know. Even if the power goes out, some people have power generators, and you prepare for yourself. Another example of preparedness is we have a family retreat coming up. So I know you guys are going, you know, to check if your car, you know, can last 12-hour driving going and coming, you know. And then everybody prepares. So Jesus talks about prepare to the kingdom in heaven, you know, and preparation and growth, they just don't happen. You know, you're not born, you know, knowing preparation, something that you learn in the time of your life. And for the Greek word, using on the parable of the 10 virgins, the Greek word for the pradon, it means smart, it means responsible. It tells me a lot of things about the pradon, because remember that we had two kinds of virgins on this parable. We got the foolish and we had the pradon. The foolish, they took no oil of them, but the pradon did, because the pradon did a good job. They knew they had to wait for a long time. They knew they had to wait for a long time because they don't know when the groom is going to show up. So they had to prepare. So they prepared themselves. But the problem, they say, you know what? Maybe he's gonna show up in the afternoon. So maybe we don't need to put oil on their lamps. So, you know, it can last. We can wait. So they did not prepare. But one thing that I want to mention to you guys is that in this parable, this particular parable, Jesus talked to the disciples. He's standing in the Mount of Olives in front of the temple, and he's talking to the disciples. But on this parable, he doesn't open the door that much going to the lost. It's like when, I don't know if you guys remember, when he talks about baptized people and then coming to receive the bread and the wine, but they talk, it was a personal between them and them, between they together. So basically what the parable is telling us is that he was talking about to the church. He was talking about to members of the church, but other people, which is the lost, they were listening to them. They were listening because they are also a part of this, but Jesus is talking about to the disciples, intimacy between men and them. So they had the verse is telling you that we had the foolish, we had Christian foolish, and they had the Christian prudent. So we had two kind of peoples in the church. We don't have anything in the middle, or you're a prudent or the foolish. So he's talking about the church itself. But the smart is telling me that there's smart people in the church. There's people that read the Word of God. They think about the Word of God. They encourage people, you know, to study the Word of God. And actually, in the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea 4:6, actually, this is what Jehovah God said. These are my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten my law of your God, I also will forget your children. What the verse is saying to us is that there is people that was in the temple, going back in the Old Testament, they didn't read the text. You know, they proclaimed to know God and listen to God, but they never read the text. So in God's saying to know, you know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They never read, they never applied the word. So the verse is telling us that there's two kind of people in the church, the foolish and the prudent. You know, and in your paper you had to be prepared spiritually and not physically. On the blanks, the blank is physically. You had to be prepared spiritually, not physically. Why physically? Because when we talk about be physically, you know, the braids, they all look alike. And remember, there are 10 virgins, so they all look alike. You cannot tell, you know, who's prudent and who's the foolish. And then in the church, it happened the same thing. You know, you don't know who's. We all in the church, we all say we are Christians, but you exactly don't know, because you only see what is in front of you, which is physical. Some people believe that raising their hands, you know, playing the band or be the leader. Some people believe that that's actually spiritually, but this is only physically. It's only things because the reason why it's physical is because be the leader, playing the band, coming to church, anybody can do it. It's so simple to do it. Anyone can do it. It's not that complicated to do. So anybody can actually do it. And in this particular parable, Jesus mentions two things, which is a lamp and the oil. And in your papers on the blank, it says the lamp represents the church. The lamp represents the church. And as a matter of fact, today I actually have a little lamp over here that I got it from my second trip that I went to Israel. I had a video here, but we cannot show it today. But I had a video where I actually filled it with oil. So these are the little lamps that you actually purchase when you go to Israel. They're very expensive, like $20 each. and the oil also, it's very expensive, you know, than trying to make the money on that. But it's a beautiful, you know, thing that you can buy over there, and a souvenir, you know. And then this is one of the lamps that actually the 10 virgins had, very small. You know, it lasts day. If you put oil in here, it lasts many days. So I already have oil in it. So this is what it represents. You see, you cannot tell it has oil or not. And this is what happened for us, you know, as a Christian. I mean, the only thing that I see in the church is use a lamp. And, you know, and it doesn't say anything and it, having a lamp. But we all can take the lamp. In the lamp, they all look alike. Be sure that you're prepared, because it's possible that you look like anyone, you know. And what's the main thing on the lamp is actually the oil. So on the next blind, you guys have the oil represents the Holy Spirit. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I actually have oil in here. And then basically, what you do is very simple. You pour the oil in it, and you wait until it fills. And when it fails, the ladies, whatever we'll do, because it, actually this is a long wedding, so when the night starts, when the sun goes down, the only thing you have to do is actually turn it on. And if it has oil or not, it will turn on anyways. There you go. Let me just... There you go. All right. And it will stay like that. And this is going to give you light on the dark, because actually in Jerusalem on that particular time they didn't have energy, so they do have to use lamps like one I have over here. And that's what the ladies have on this parable. They need the light because they need to go to the feast when the groom show up, when the bride show up. So knowing that the oil represents the Holy Spirit, you need oil in the lamp. And the prudent, they put oil inside. And they have it because they prepared for the long time, as I mentioned before. They knew that the groom was going to delay. And actually, that text says that he showed up until midnight. So basically, they wait about maybe if they woke up at 7 and did everything, maybe they wait like 14 hours. You know, so the prudent, they were smart and they put oil on the lamp. And when the sun went down, they actually turned it on. And if the little lamp over here doesn't have any oil, it will turn on anyways. But it won't last. It won't last like an hour. But it has oil. It will do for a long time. This little example that I have over here, it reminds me a lot of things. It reminds me that a lot of Christians, they don't have any oil inside. They don't have any oil. They don't have the Holy Spirit. And there's one thing that I've been thinking about, because, you know, especially on the Spanish community, we have a lot of Christian denominations. And some people come over here and say, I didn't feel the Holy Spirit over here. Baptists don't show the Holy Spirit over here. And let me tell you one thing. I've been thinking about it, you know, because they think, you know, they only sing hymns and they're boring. And I don't see the presence of the Holy Spirit over here. And they trying to go to these emotions. And it tells me a lot of things when people say that, because the church is not responsible to show the Holy Spirit itself, because you're supposed to bring it with you. You know, and this particular parable where the party was, where the wedding, the reception, they never said, you know, it's going to be oil in here. So what they basically, they expect, you know, the virgins to bring the oil. So, yeah, that the church is responsible to teach you the word of God. The church is responsible to show you how God works in your life. The church is responsible to equip leaders and equip people to go outside and preach the word of God. But the oil, the Holy Spirit, you have to bring it. You cannot come over here and say, I didn't feel the Holy Spirit. If any person comes over here and says, I didn't feel the Holy Spirit, maybe it's because they didn't have the oil in it. They came empty, you know, and they looking for the oil. And where the oil, you're supposed to bring it, because this is personal. The Holy Spirit is something personal. We are showing you God and Christ. We do that. We give you the invitation so you can receive it. But then you bring it to your house. You bring the oil to your house. And then in the church, you bring it to you. So when we pray over here, when we do our worship, you know, the Holy Spirit can do things in your life, you know, that you can show others. So this is a big mistake that people do when say, you know, in that church I didn't feel the Holy Spirit. Maybe that person never had it. It came empty to their lives. So we had to be careful when we say that. And the fool is that they were not bad people at all, you know. And there's people that's why I was telling you that Jesus compared this foolish with the prodigal, because the foolish are not bad people. Maybe they never kill anyone. And there's people here that is foolish, you know, they don't bring the oil, and they're not bad people. They're good people. You know, they don't do anything bad to anyone, you know. They have not anything wrong. So it doesn't mean that you have to do good the good and everything, because they're just not bad people. And then the only thing you had to do is you had to prepare yourself and surrender to God. So going to the next slide, on the next portion on this verse, it says, no one can do it for you. And no one can do it for you. Your faith must be your own. Your faith must be your own. In this particular parable, what happened here is that has the groom delayed, they fall asleep. You know, just imagine you going to until this day, especially the Jewish, the Orthodox Jewish community, until this day, they celebrate the weddings this way. So you don't want to be in this wedding until this day they do it. And the group, he delayed, you know. He never said, because he's the main focus on it. So he didn't say what time he's going to show up. So they fall asleep. And there's nothing wrong with falling asleep, you know, because the problem, they're just ready for whenever he show up, you know. But when he showed up, actually, the foolish came to them. They were like, hey, can you give us some of the oil? They could do it. This little thing over here that I have, it lasts a long time. So the problem, they easily will go like, hey, I will share with you, you know. But actually, they didn't do it. They actually told them, you know, it's not going to be enough, you know, because, you know, it's not going to be enough. So go yourself and go outside and buy some of your oil. And actually, they did. Actually, the foolish, they were like, maybe he's going to delay. And maybe we're going to go, you know, to the brother station and get some chicken and then eat and then come back, you know. So they actually went outside. And your faith must be your own, you know. Don't depend on other people's prayer, you know. Don't depend on my leader's praying for me, you know. Don't depend on somebody's praying for me, or somebody is doing prayer requests in your cell group. But don't depend on those prayers. Do it yourself also. Don't depend like somebody's praying for me, you know. So how the foolish did that, you can also, the problem is that you can pray for yourself too. And don't try to steal also somebody oil. And they didn't steal one, but they had to go outside and actually buy it. And it's very interesting that Jesus is using the lamp and the oil as a good example. But in Luke 12, 35, the book of Luke 12, 35 to 36, listen what it says. It says, be dressed in readiness, and keep your lamps light. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns for the wedding feast, so that they immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks to the door. So actually, Jesus used an example that was on the Bible, and that was before. He's keep using this example, that be the light, keep your lamps light. Keep it on. Just wait for the master, because the disciples they were like you and I. They were like, hey Jesus, you know, when you're gonna return? You know, in Matthew 24, we all know those verses in the Bible. Actually, when somebody asks you, hey, how's gonna be the end of the world? Most Christians, they go to Matthew 24, because that's when Jesus talk about, you know, it's gonna be earthquakes, you know, and start saying all the things that are gonna happen to the earth. And but he concludes with the same thing. You know, you don't know the hour, you don't know when it's gonna come. And then in Matthew 25, he actually shows how the kingdom, who's going to be in heaven, as we see over here, who's staying and who is going. So the disciples, they understood, but remember, there's people outside listening to him, because Jesus is already famous. They already know he's talking about he's the Messiah, so we want to hear what he says. So people from outside, because he's surrounded from hundreds of people, they listen to this. They listen to the parable, and they trying to compare, you know, that's one of the messages of the parable. Who are you? Are you the foolish? They have no oil. They have no Holy Spirit. But, or you're the prodigal. Like I mentioned before, there's nothing on the middle, or you're one or the other. On the next point, it says, only when you have Jesus in your heart, you have peace. Only when you have Jesus in your heart, you have peace. And peace is a big word right now, especially today. You see how things are happening here in America. You know, so we were talking about peace. When is going to be peace? People from outside ask you, you know, it's going to be peace any day. And actually, when you go and when you travel to Israel, one of the things that you see everywhere in every street, it's the famous Psalms where they said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And every Jewish, they go, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray. All they talk about is peace. Peace. And it's hard to see peace over there because of the conflict they have with Syria and Egypt, Gaza, all the war around them. So, but they talk about a lot about peace. And actually, that was the day that we went to Israel. One of the days we were there, we actually went to the Golan Heights. The Golan Heights, it's there are mountains, and after the Golan Heights, they had Syria, which is you know, you see in the news how ISIS is part of ISIS, actually, the main headquarters are in Syria. So we went there, and when we it's a very high mountain. You go there, and actually outside Syria, the border of Syria between Syria and Israel, and I was like, oh, my goodness, you know, it's like I cannot believe that I'm on the border, you know, between Israel and Syria, and all the crazy things happening over there. And then we have a Jewish guy that went with us. You know, he went to us to show us the Golan Heights, because those who know about the war and the six-day war that Israel happened in 1948, and then when Israel defeat the old Syria and Damascus and all the army, and we went there just to see, you know, how the tanks went to the mountains, and they defeat the Syrians, and then this Jewish guy, he went with us, and he was talking about peace, and in our mind, we were like, my goodness, and he's talking, and he quoted a verse of the Bible, which is Isaiah 19, that actually says that from Syria is going to be a road that comes all the way down to Damascus, and from Damascus we all the way down to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem we go to Gaza, and from Gaza we go to Cairo, which is Egypt, and that's actually on the Bible. It's on the Bible. And he was talking about all this, and this emotion is going to hang. It's going to be peace one day. And actually, our tour guide, he was a Jew also, but he was a Christian Jew. He was a Christian Jew, and I remember that he was the only one that would respond to him, because we were all like, you know, we didn't want to go to the debates, you know, but he was only because they were friends. And I remember the tour guide, he says to him, and he says the following words. He says, only when you have peace, only when you have Jesus in your life, you have peace. And he explained what Isaiah was talking about. And what Isaiah talks about is that when that road shows us, because Christ is going to come, he's going to take the church, and then he's going to be a peace between all these countries. But until Jesus comes, you know, it's not something that's going to happen as Jews believe, that they believe it's going to happen today or it's happening now. But it's actually something that is going to happen when Jesus comes. There's going to be peace, because only when you have Jesus in your heart, then you have peace. And then the Bible actually talks a lot about peace. We see Luke chapter 2, verse 14, where you see the angel. But actually, when you come to the Christmas drama, you hear this verse a lot. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace among men with who he is pleased. You know, and then the angels, they show to, they came over here, and they talk about peace, and then you go like, what kind of peace they are talking about? Because the verse says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. And when we see that, well, I don't see any peace in air, you know. So what the Bible is saying, what they're saying about peace, and actually I don't see any peace. But actually, that's the only thing what we see. But then it says, with whom he has pleased. So what the angel is saying is that is the peace on those living there, those who have basically those who have Christ in their life, or those who proclaim Jehovah have as a Messiah. So the angel doesn't talk about the earth. It doesn't talk about something physical. It's talking about those who proclaim, those who believe that that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and that he was the Messiah. So it's not talking about the earth. It's talking about people. So many people get confused about this thing, saying the angel proclaiming peace on earth. And it's actually, you see it on the dramas and everything. It's a very popular verse in the Bible. And the foolish, they had no peace. Remember that there was a shout that somebody said, "Hey, belong, wake up. He's coming." So when those words were said, you know, the foolish, they didn't have peace because they actually went to the prophet to ask for some oil. So, you know, they didn't have anything, so they had to go outside and buy it. And then this reminded me one thing: don't join the church. Don't join the church in order to be right with God. You know, don't get baptized in order to be right with God. Don't do it that way. You know why? Because hell is full of members of the church. Let me say it one more time: hell is going to be full of members of the church. So don't believe that because you get baptized and you come over here and you do all the things right, don't believe that that's going to be right with God. You know, so there's some people believe wrong. Only God can give you peace. And then I don't know how many of you guys saw the email this past weekend. I don't know if you remember Wanda. Wanda, it's been on Brussels. And actually, I was in Brussels. Before I went to Israel, I went to, we landed in Brussels. And when I went there, I noticed that a lot of locals, they were Muslim. It was a country that is full of a lot of Muslims. And actually, Wanda told me that she was going to be doing missions over there. And I was like, man, there's a lot of Muslims. It's a hard job. It's not simple to do it. And then in the past week, if you give her the email, she sent us, you know, prayer requests. She sent us, you know, pray for these women to have peace. And she asked for those requests because she knows that only God can bring peace. And the reason why I mentioned Brussels is because I was there on the airport, and I noticed a lot of things that happened in it. And 5 months after I was there, they have the terror attack on that airport. And then you know, they had some bombs going in there about 2 months ago. And I was thinking that morning, you know, they need peace over there. And then Wanda sent us this request, and she's saying, you know, pray for the peace over here. But not only that they have peace, but they can show Christ to these Muslims over here so they can see peace. And then it can be peace over here. So she asked for prayer. So if you had the email, maybe she sent you a little card that she sends to everyone, and she asks for that prayer. So going to the last section, it says the door is shut. All right, the door is shut. Okay, and this lady is the foolish virgin. They actually have some of the oil, and then they went outside to buy it. And when they went outside to buy some of the oil, that's when the groom shows out. And when he shows out, they went to the ceremony. They went to the ceremony. And on your blanks right there, it says the foolish had a lack of faith. The foolish have lack of faith. And basically, it's simple. They were not ready. They were not ready. And they had not faith, but in order to practice faith, you need one thing. In order to practice faith, you need a problem. You need a problem. So if you want to practice faith, don't complain about God if something is happening in your life, because in order to have faith, to develop faith, you need a problem. You know. So ask for a problem if you want to practice faith. You know. And that's amazing how things work. You know. And because Christian life is not that simple, you need a problem. So a problem is a good candidate to become a miracle. So if you want to see God working in your life or somebody's life, and then remember that the problem is a good candidate to become a miracle. And then in the next slide says that the Lord closed the door. The Lord closed the door. When the Lord closed the door, it tells me one thing. It tells me that not everybody's going to heaven, because Jesus is using this parable and he's saying there's members of the church that are going to be outside. They're not going to the ceremony. So it tells me that nobody's going to heaven. And be careful for some also religion or denomination outside that tells you, you know, that everybody can go to heaven. They use this purgatory thing. I tell you that because I grew up in the Catholic Church. I was 9 years there. I knew the story about Christ. They taught me about Christ, but I never knew who Christ was in my life. You know, so, and then they showed this purgatory thing where they believe that everybody goes to heaven. But actually the Gospel of Matthew shows us that it's going to be people that are going to stay outside, and he's going to close the door. And actually, those ladies, they knocked the door, and they were like, you know, can you let us in? And he said, no. You know, he says no. So the fool is there no longer in the party. And Jesus reminded on Matthew 24, going back again to Matthew 24, verse 37, 39, I'm going to read it. It says, for the coming of the Son of the Man will be just like the days of Noah. You know, Jesus is quoting to Noah again, you know, letting know what happened on the story of Noah. And then it says, for as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day of Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flow came and took them away. So they will be coming of the Son of the Man. Basically, Jesus is saying it's going to be like a day of Noah. On the day of Noah, you know, he went outside telling everyone, go inside the ark. You fit here. Look at what the verse says. They were getting married to each other. They were eating and drinking. You know, and then Noah closed the door. And they only understood when they saw the flood coming up. And then that's the only time that they understood. So it's telling me there's going to be Christians that are going to be outside, believers that they not have the oil in it, that they're going to stay outside. And that's what Jesus is telling today. He's telling it to them. So if you haven't received Christ in your life, today is the day where you can receive Christ in your life and have some of the oil that he provides. And lastly, you know, Christ is coming again, and that's one of the truths that the gospel says, is that Christ is coming again. And then on verse 13, there was a big warning, and then you know, the disciples want to know the day, the time. They want to know how it's going to happen. And then actually in verse 13, it says, "Be on alert, for you don't know the day nor the hour." So we don't know the day that Christ is going to return, but what we know is that he's going to return for the church. He's going to return for his church. And actually, there's a verse on the Bible that actually describes how the day is going to be. And this is in the book of Revelations, chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19, from 7 to 8. It says the following: "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride," this bride, it means the church, "his bride has made herself ready." You see, they were ready. They're saying the church is going to be ready on that day. "And it was given to her a cloth to herself, to fine linen, bright and clean, for the linen and the righteous acts of the saints." When the verse says the saints, he talk about us, because each one of us is a saint. People believe that only the Pope is the saint, but actually the Bible tells us that we all are saints. We all are saints. So the verse concludes and said, "The acts for the saints." So he talks about when Christ will come, and that day those Christians, those proud Christians, they're gonna be ready. They're gonna be dressed, and they're gonna go to the wedding feast, and that's when everything starts for all of us. And people's gonna stay outside, and telling the people's gonna stay outside. So you see how time. And actually, Isaiah 55, verse 6, Isaiah 55, 6 says the following: seek to the Lord while he might be found. And until this day, you still can be, he still is available. He can be found until this day. So today, I want to tell to you, if you never receive Christ in your life, this is the day that actually you can do it. And actually you can proclaim that you can be one of these ladies that were in Pradhan. And today can be the day that you can receive Christ in your life. If you can close the door, you can close the door to me, and I will lead you in the prayer.